We're kind of continuing our thoughts from last Wednesday. We had breaking of bread tonight, and so I put some verses in the outline that reflects about the breaking of bread is a fellowship of the body of the many that have been called into His kingdom and glory. And if we are partaking of breaking of bread, and we're remembering His death and the blood and the significance of the blood, we're abiding in Him. And we are exhorted to abide in Christ, because if we don't, we will not be bearing fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, then we will be gathered and burned. And so I'm not going to read the verses in our message out of 1 Corinthians and John, but focus our attention to begin with on Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. In Romans 12, 4 and 5, it says, "As we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Verse 4, talking about many members, and yet there are many offices in that one body. Many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. In other words, this body is made up so that it functions well. It's got everything in place for this body to minister to each other and care for each other, because that's what this body does. It ministers to each other and cares for each other. And I want to remind us that Romans chapter 12, verse 1 tells us to whom He is speaking. And it is significant to know to whom He is speaking. He is speaking to brethren. He is speaking to those that are seeking to do the will of the Father. From Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. These are verses that are familiar to many of us. But sometimes it's helpful to go over these. We need to have a desire to do the will of the Father. Jesus had that desire. He says, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." And we should do the same. We should have the same desire. When we think about meat and what we eat, that's our sustenance. Job says, "I esteem Thy word more than my necessary food." And so we need to be doing the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is to has completion in it, to finish, and not to quit. So easy to quit. Now, in Romans 12:5, it says, "So we, being many," and the word "being" is in italics, been added, but there's a definite article "the" before "many." And when you find the definite article "the" before a noun, and or an adjective for that matter, it's speaking about a particular group of people. And so we, the brethren, those that are seeking to do the will of the Father, are, being the many, are one body, one unit. And that unit is in Christ. That unit is abiding in Christ. That unit is continuing in the house of Christ by continuing steadfast in the confidence and the hope of glory in His coming kingdom from Hebrews chapter 3. Now, who are the many? Well, Matthew 22:14 says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Many called, but few are chosen. This is the many that He's talking about. This is not talking about calling lost people to be saved. This is the calling of saved people who have ears to hear and eyes to see to a special calling. And we see that special calling in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. that we would walk worthy of God who hath called us, or called you, unto his kingdom and glory. The calling is unto his kingdom and glory. And this calling is something that we need, that is not sure. We need to make that calling and election sure. We see that in 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And the list of those things that we need to be doing are found earlier in that chapter. We won't go into those this evening. But we will never fall or fail. And if we don't fail or fall, there will be an abundance, there will be an entrance that shall be ministered unto us abundantly into the age-lasting, millennial, 1,000-year kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to make sure that we qualify for. Because we just got through reading that it takes a worthy walk in 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Now, I remind you that of those that are with him when he comes in Revelation chapter 17. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. This reminds me of what Peter said, "You're not going to wash me, Lord." And the Lord says, "If I don't wash you, you'll have no part with me." And so these people are clean, they're pure, they are just before the Lord, and these are the ones that have been called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. Now, we mentioned in Romans 12:5 that that we are one body, and that body, I believe, is in Christ. I have difficulty trying to make a distinction about the body and in Christ. And being in Christ is being in the body. I associate there's a body that is abiding in Christ more so than just simply a body a body that is Christ. Okay. Because there just seems to be some consistency there. So let's consider Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where it says, "There is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." And when we think of all these ones, they are all associated with ruling and reigning with Christ. When we think about one body, that's the body that's living in Christ, living Christ's way, and one spirit, I don't associate this as the Holy Spirit as much as I associate it with being the Abba Spirit. We know that there is only one Holy Spirit. But we need to have one spirit in our soul of that of doing the will of the Father. Being obedient. Being submissive. That's the Abba Spirit, is a submissive spirit. So there is one spirit, and that's the spirit of His Son that was demonstrated in the garden when He cried, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. I know that you can remove this cup from Me." Maybe there's another plan. I don't know. He didn't reveal it. But anyway, as far as God was concerned, the Father was concerned, there was only one thing that Christ could do, and He did it. And so there's only one hope of our calling. And what is that one hope? That's the hope of ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. That one hope is the hope of glory. And there's one Lord. In other words, there's only one that is in charge, and we need to be submissive to Him. One faith. There's not many faiths. There are many levels of faith. We need to grow in faith. But there's only one faith, and that is to please God. And one baptism. And what is that baptism? That baptism is to die to self, to be buried as a seed, to be buried and die, and to be raised to bear fruit. In other words, to bring forth and bear fruit. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the one body. And again, I want to remind us that in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, it tells us that he is addressing brethren. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, also is Christ." So also is Christ. So, many members, yet one body. And those members in that body are all to work together. Verse 18, "Who put them into that body? God did. Now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." So God is the one who has put us in the body as it pleases him. Now in chapter 12 again, in verse 27 and 28, we see that the brethren are the body of Christ. "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, and secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers." Now, ye is a reference to the brethren, because he is addressing brethren, which we have already referred to in verse 1. And the brethren are the body of Christ, and members, in particular, are by parts. In other words, they have a part in that body. And God had set some in the church, apostles, that's one part. Prophets, another. Teachers, another. And if we read in Romans chapter 12, there are other offices that apply as well as the parts. Now, we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the same thoughts or the parts that he gave to the church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, these are the parts that he has given to the church. In verse 12 of Ephesians 4, "It is for the purpose of perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ." In other words, this is talking about a local assembly, that we are part of that body of Christ. Until we come into the unity of the faith, in other words, this has to do with maturity or growing in faith, and the exact knowledge, or the deeper knowledge, of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, or a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that has to do with living like Him, having the attitude of Christ, having the mind of Christ. Now, the church edifies itself with the apostles, prophets, and pastor teachers, which we read in verse 11. In verse 15 of Ephesians 4, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." In other words, the reason I included these two verses is to show you that the body is fitly joined together, and that every joint supplieth, and it effectually works together. In other words, fellowship in the body has to do with building each other up. And that's what needs to take place. And we are the ones who do the edifying of each other. We encourage each other. And Christ is the head, yet we are the ones who are fitly joined together in a way that it will help, that will allow us to edify each other. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, we pick up the bride is one that's out of his body. In Ephesians 5:30, it says, "For we are members out of his body." And the word "of his body" is actually ek, ek in the Greek, and it means out from or out of his body, and of his flesh or out from his flesh, and ek, out from his bones. And that is just like Eve was. Eve was one who was taken from the body of Adam. Now, Eve wasn't the whole body of Adam. The church isn't the whole body of Christ. It's just a part of the body. Bone out of his bone and flesh out of his flesh. And for this reason, verse 31, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery, which I speak concerning Christ and the church. And it is a great mystery. And I don't know that I'm really satisfied with the conclusions that I've come to. But, one of the things that happens is that you present truth that will one day come together. And it may come together for me, or it may come together for you to help me to put these things together. I was talking to Paul, and we were talking about Eve was the wife of Adam. And we know that Jesus Christ will have a bride, and that will come out of his body. And yet, we often think of her as being a consort queen. And yet I was asking Paul, I said, "Paul, where in the Old Testament is a type of a wife of a king that ruled with him?" And there is none that we can think of. Even Eve, when she was taken out of Adam, in the last few verses of chapter 2, it wasn't chapter 3 is when she began to fall, when Satan started taking over. I don't see Eve ruling over the garden at all. Adam was given authority over the garden. But anyway, the bride of a king stayed in the palace and had the kids. It's kind of a simple way of putting it. And the bride of Christ may just simply be in the palace for him. And the lords and the kings are the ones that will be ruling and reigning. And that may be a separate entity altogether. I think I've presented this before some years ago. But just something that I'm throwing out. So the church is a great mystery. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, well, chapter 15 deals with the hope and of Christ and the resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, we see that Paul is addressing brethren again. He is addressing those that are seeking to do the will of the Father. He says, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And that was Paul's gospel. That had to do with the gospel of Christ. That had to do with ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. Which also ye received, and wherein ye stand. And that's in the perfect tense. He is affirming the fact that they began to stand on this truth that He gave them, and they continue to stand on that truth. That's the perfect tense. And then in verse 2, it says, by which also ye are saved. Now, the word saved is a present passive indicative. It's a continuous thing. They're being saved conditionally if something takes place. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, brethren, unless ye have believed in vain. Well, let me just say this. The word believed here is in the aorist tense. And you cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in vain. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? You're saved. You cannot do that in vain. You can't change it. You can't reverse it. If you see you're a sinner and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that transaction is completed. But you can believe in vain. Paul's gospel. Because Paul's gospel encourages us to be faithful in believing in the present tense. And you can quit believing in the present tense. You can do that in vain. You can quit that. Now, in verse 17, it says, if Christ be not risen, our faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Now, this is talking about the resurrection. Jesus Christ has already died for the sins of every man, and it was a perfect sacrifice. And if you accept and receive that sacrifice for yourself, you're in the family. But if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, you'd be saved, but you couldn't escape and have victory over sin in your life. You'd be in bondage to it. It takes the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for remission, or deliverance, or liberty from sin. Now, in verse 19, it says, if in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And he's talking to brethren, those that are seeking to do the will of the Father. He says, if you have hope in Christ, and He is not raised from the dead, it's a waste of time. It's a miserable existence. And so, miserable one in hope. Then in verse 22, this hope is in Christ. For as in Adam all die, or actually are dying. That means physical death. All in Adam are physically dying. Some take a little longer than others. Thank goodness. Even so, all in Christ shall be made alive. And the word made alive, the word alive is an interesting word. It's a compound Greek word. And it has the word life. And it is the word to do, or as it is translated, to give. All in Christ are going to be given life, and this is in the future. This is future tense. And this life is in the kingdom. In other words, all in Adam, all that Adam provided for us was the physical death, and we're all doing that. But in Christ, if you abide in Him and you remain in Him and continue in Him, He is going to give you life in the coming kingdom. It's the life in the kingdom, it comes because we're continuing in the house of Christ. We're continuing to abide in Him. Now, in verse 23, we see that every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming, or his presence. This is talking about the resurrection. Every man in his own order. And Christ, the first fruits. He was the first. He was the one who was raised first with those that were with him when he was raised from the dead. And then afterward, they, those who sleep, and those who live at his coming will be also caught up. Now, if we look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, we see some verses that deal with his coming. In verse 13, but I, or we, would not have you to be ignorant. It's plural for some reason. They translated it I, it's plural. But we would not have you to be ignorant. Who? Brethren. He is addressing those that are seeking to do the will of the Father. He is addressing those that are seeking to please God. Concerning them, that is, brethren, which are asleep, that is, that are dead. In other words, they have experienced all that an Adam will experience if the Lord tarries. That ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. In other words, if you don't have a hope of glory, then you can be sorrowful for them. Because they're going to miss something that they will want to enjoy. Anyway, that ye sorrow not as others, which the ones have no hope. And in fact, the word have here is an echo in the present tense. The ones that do not regard, have are, in other words, not regarding, may not have hope. In other words, may not regard or esteem the hope. In other words, we can sorrow not for them. We sorrow not, even as others which have no hope, or esteem the hope. Now, in verse 14, it says, if we, and this is addressing brethren, believe, present active, that Jesus died, and this word, apothenosko, physical death, and rose again physically, even so them also, and I am the word also having to do the same as those that are believing in the present tense in the first part of this verse, that Jesus died and rose again, which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with them, with him. In other words, we're talking about those that are believing in the present tense, their brethren. They're going to be brought with God when the Lord comes. In other words, in Jesus will God bring with him, that is, with Jesus. And then in verse 15, for this, brethren, we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to get a head start on our brothers that are seeking to do the will of the Father to be caught up into heaven. Verse 17, but we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them, that is the other brethren, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be what? With the Lord, having a part with him in his coming kingdom. And we are to encourage each other with these words. Exhort each other. Exhort each other to what? To continue to believe. I'm persuaded. Because if we will be steadfast in this, what is the blessings for us? Well, Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the best resurrection. This is not first, second, and third. I guess it could be, but it is also translated chief. It's also translated best. This is the better resurrection that Paul desired to enjoy, to have. The best resurrection, on such a second death hath no power. In other words, your rewards are not going to be burned up. And you will be priest of God and of Christ in His kingdom. And what will we be doing? We'll be reigning with Him 1,000 years. So, what do we need to do? Well, we need to continue in the body of Christ. And we need to abide in Him. And we need to bear fruit. The fruit of a Christian or the fruit of a brother is one, is that which cheers the heart of God in man. And part of cheering the heart of God in man is to minister to each other, to edify each other, to build each other up. And I'm just thinking of the passage in Hebrews 10. We need to provoke each other to love and to good works. That's really the bottom line. May the Lord help us to do that. Father, I just pray that You'd bless these thoughts to Your honor and glory and our good and profit, and help us, Lord, to be faithful in making our calling and election sure. For, Lord, we do desire an abundant entrance into Your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.